Dear colleagues, it's my great pleasure to be here as Professor Peter introduced. I'm from Beijing. I work for both, actually, Irish Study Center and the British Study Center in Beijing. So that's interesting. So it's also, this is a very interesting moment to come here at this Brexit and also the general election in Republic of Ireland. So this topic is Brexit, Irish studies in China. So I'll start with the story in Beijing, what we are doing there. So you'll be interested in why we are interested in Irish studies. Maybe in other parts, I visited some Irish study programs, for example, in New Zealand, in Australia, and also in Canada. They may have some family or blood links, but in China we do not have that link. So that's a very interesting question. So for Irish studies in China, the general overview is the, of course, literature has taken the central place. That's in most program. We have several, at least, Irish study centers. Most of them devoted to study of Irish literature. For my institute, Irish Studies Center at Beijing Foreign Study University, we try to become more comprehensive, try to be multidisciplinary and interdisciplinary. So in history in China, the earliest encounters happened in the 1920s. Some Chinese intellectuals believe Irish literature could provide inspirations for the new cultural movement in China. For example, some literary giants, very famous writers in China, for example, Lu Xun, Mao Dun, or Guo Moruo, they translated and wrote critical essays on some Irish writers. A very famous Chinese writer, Mao Dun, put it, well, people were questioning the future and favoring cosmopolitanism. The Irish were paying particular attention to their own history and the national trees. The new Irish literature formed a unique school of its own. So they noticed the importance of Irish literature, Irish writers in the building of the Irish national identity after the their national independence movement. So in the second half of the 20th century, when the People's Republic of China was established, again, some Chinese writers were better received. That means the, as we know, that during the Cultural Revolution, during the first 30 years of the Republic, People's Republic, the communist movement actually banned some Western writers and their works. But generally speaking, these Irish writers were better, gained a warmer reception. For example, when I was a child, I was born in 1970, my mother in late 1970s, that means the end of Cultural Revolution, people began to learn English. She changed her position from a Chinese teacher to English at a high school. She started to learn English and start to learn some English literary works. So she read Swift, Oscar Wilde, and Bernard Shaw, of course. So at that period, they were better received. And also during that period, Irish history became a subject for academic interest because thanks to Karl Marx and Engels' writing on Irish independence movement, which was seen as part of the international working class struggle against the bourgeoisie. So in 1974, Chinese got translated the first book of on history of Ireland, that is Emil de Curtis' A History of Ireland in 1974. That was the first Chinese Mandarin translation of the book. So since China's opening up to the outside world in the late 1970s, the end of Cultural Revolution, gradually Aristotle has grown fast. Although it's a very small subject, even today it's still a small subject, it has grown. And particularly since the late 1990s, it gradually, because before that, Aristotle faced the question of identity. Usually, is part of English literature or even British literature. Gradually, the scholars began to develop a separate identity for Irish studies. So currently, according to the ISO bibliography, more than 100 academic papers are published annually in general studies, theater, language, and culture, and a broad category of Irish literature and Irish-related works. This is a general background. The Aristotle Center at BFSU, again, we started with the Irish literature many years ago. A pioneer, leading professor, late Professor Wang Zuoliang in 1980s, early 1980s, he proposed to establish a Celtic literature section at the Foreign Literature Institute of Beijing Foreign Studies University. Late Professor Chen Shu published an anthology of Irish literature in 1990s and reprinted, re-edited in the beginning of 21st century. This multidisciplinary agenda started in 2005 or 2006. At that time, I remember the Irish ambassador in Beijing, Declan Kelleher, he asked our dean at that time, visited the Irish embassy. Every year they celebrated the St. Patrick Day. They had a big dinner. The number of people expanded every year. That has become a tradition since the late 1980s. They asked, ambassador asked why? Because my school had established the Center for American Studies. That was the first in 1979. Last year was the 40th anniversary, and then the Australian and then the British in 1989, and then Canadian. So in 2006-07, he asked, why not Irish? We are also an English-speaking country. So that's interesting thing. So he promised to give support if we do that. Our dean decided to embark on the project. However, actually, few people knew Ireland. I graduated from the British study program. However, I remember even that time my interest at them was European Union politics. Actually, I didn't know Ireland very much. I know something about knew something about the Northern Irish issue in British politics, devolution, constitutional arrangements. Actually, I could not understand quite well the Republic of Ireland. But they said that you are the closest in, because you are working on the European Union and also the UK. And so I was asked to be the director for the program since 2007. I tried to put a long story short. And this is the opening of center in 2007. From beginning, we claim we are the multidisciplinary. Because for other area studies in my school, before the area studies, we did everything but literature. But this program we have two parallel sections, literature and other things, history or politics, because literature is too important to be ignored for Aristotle's. Of course, we have a separate Aristotle program. No, sorry, we have a separate literary study, English literature program. So since then, a number of Irish writers visited our center. For example, this is Sebastian Barry, and also Colm Tobin, Dermot Borger, Deirdre Madden, and Hugo Hamilton, Desmond Egan, a number of Paddy Bush visited the center. This is Colm Tobin. 10 years ago, he gave a lecture at my center. So this is the 2009, we held a conference to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the establishment of diplomatic relations between China and Ireland. So this is the 2014 conference. We held an international conference in 2014. The theme was literature, culture, and nation building in the 20th century Ireland. Again, we try to become multidisciplinary. During the conference, we launched the Aristotle Network. That means we try to link different Aristotle programs and the scholars in China. That was the Irish ambassador. So 2016, we hosted another conference on the commemorations, centenary commemoration, to commemorate the 100th anniversary for Easter Rising. So this is 17, the new Irish ambassador visited our center, and we had a small seminar on Aristotle's and Sino-Irish relations. But this is my student, a PhD student. Now he is Dr. Zhang Fang. He is in UCD now. Because since 2010, actually, we had the course on Irish language for our MA students and some undergraduate students. So it's not a degree course, it's only one course. But the university promised to have this program at least. It's not certain when we'll have degree students, because we are a bit concerned about the prospect of the job for students. However, we registered in at Ministry of Education that that's a degree program. So every 1 or 2 years, we invited Irish speakers to Irish lecturers to give course on Irish language. 2 years ago, we selected two students, one PhD, one undergraduate, actually, a BA student, to go to UCD to learn Irish language. They will be back this September, and they will have our own language teacher very soon. This is President Higgins' visit to UCD. This is this year, last year's conference, that's the 40th anniversary for the bilateral relations between Ireland and China. So this is our curriculums, the courses for students. This is again multidisciplinary, literature, fiction, history, politics, culture, religion, European Union. This is for our MA program. Every 2 years now, we enroll about 8 or 9 students in Irish studies. This is our publications. Professor Jerusha McCormack, she actually is our guest professor. She is in Dublin. She helped a lot in development in the center. So 10 years ago, again, 2009, she edited the book, China and the Irish. That was one of the, again, pioneering work. I mean, in this area, few publications have been made. She treats the development. I mean, it's not a continuous historical account. It's some personal experiences. For example, Sir Robert Hart, and this is of course a very important topic here. We translated the book into Chinese. Right, this is a Chinese version of the book. So in 2011, this publication, Sino-Irish Relations, Cross-Cultural Perspectives, that was the articles and essays that from the 2009 conference. We had again half on politics, economy, half of the articles on the reception and translation of Irish literature in China. This is the new book, again edited by Jerusha McCormack. This Irish and China, published last year. Maybe you can find the book, Encounters and Exchanges. Again, this is some important encounters between the people of Ireland and China in history. This is the recent book, Professor Dermot Keogh from UCC. He published the book 20th Century Ireland, Revolution and the State Building. So we translated again. I headed a team, so three translators translated the book into Chinese. He spent several years, a very heavy book. Professor Dermot Keogh also contributed to two new chapters for more updated information till 2016 to the Brexit referendum and Trump election victory. The problem was delayed a bit. It will come out very soon. If it's published in Chinese, that means the Chinese version will be the newest, most updated, even earlier than the English. So some of my colleagues' works, Professor Chen Li on Irish cultural revival and again the identity building, the national identity building. She is a professor in Irish literature, in English literature. And my former colleague, Li Yuan, translation of the drama by the Borg of Cat. And also we had some interest in, of course, in Sir Robert Hart. As we know that, traditionally, Sir Robert Hart had been a subject, important subject, in the history, in China's history with the UK, or the history of customs. But this new research agenda for Irish studies raised the question about Sir Robert Hart's identity. Here again, the QUB Dr. O'Leary. I think we met many years ago in Dublin. Do you still remember? Just now I thought you, but time flies, so many years have passed. I think I met you about 11 or 12 years ago in UCD, at the Confucius Institute there. Dr. O'Leary actually raised the question about the importance of Sir Robert Hart's his Irish root, Irish blood, for his success in China. This former Chinese Inspector General of Chinese Customs, Fairbank once said that he was so important for world history, and his importance can be compared with that of Bismarck or Napoleon. So traditionally, of course, in China, he was seen as a British citizen, a subject of British Empire, and a colonist. Recently, of course, we have some positive comments on his role in China's path to modernization. His complexities, the complexity of his multiple identities, his emphasis on family, family values, and even his nepotism or favoritism, converge with some elements of Chinese culture. So Jerusha also wrote several articles about the about his importance of his Irish identity. These multiple identities actually were important in late Qing Dynasty for custom. This multinational institution. This is his Ulster identity, his British identity, or even he stayed in China for so many years. So in 2011, actually, I was here. At that time, I was a visiting scholar at Maynooth. So I was here. I met Deirdre. So at the library here, I consulted some archives. I was impressed with some pictures here. You can find that Fairbank actually published the archives for his early archives, very two heavy books in China. We have the translations. However, for his late years works, it's very difficult to be recognized. It needs some computer, maybe some special technique. But anyway, his work, I can still find that I only consulted the archive twice for several hours. I can still find this his different attitudes. That means from some other British colonies, he showed greater sympathy to Chinese people. For example, the Boxing movement. I remember that during my visit, I found that he that was the after the Boxing movement, the British official pressed the Qing dynasty government to punish those officials who were not that means who supported maybe in some way the boxers, but the Hurt said that means those criminals should be punished, but that means they must be aware of the Chinese people's culture, their tradition. This is very important. You must understand this country. You must understand the people. This is the so this may have some potential for some special identity. For academic identity for Irish studies in China. This is an important subject, and also subject of our mutual interest. This is a part of story in the history of the encounters of people, the Irish and the Chinese people. And this is also something we can work together for Irish studies in China and Chinese studies here. Agenda for the future work. Of course, the Queen's has the resources, has the archives, valuable archives for further studies, especially for the late year, his late years works. Actually now in Shanghai, as I know some scholar in Beijing, Chinese Academy of Social Sciences, and also in Shanghai, several universities actually, they also use computer technique to try to understand those messages from the archives. So we go to the second topic, that is to see Brexit. Now this is just now there was an overview of Arab studies in China. Brexit, this is my area because I'm working for British Studies Center. Every year we publish an annual report on the UK. So over the past three or four years, the keynote lecture or keynote article of the book has been Brexit. predictions and the referendum, the dialogue, and of course Brexit has had huge implications on development of Irish identity and Irish studies. From my understanding, Irish people have experienced some kind of transformation, some change from pessimism to optimism. I remember I visited the IIEA, the think tank in Dublin, the Institute for International and European Affairs. They showed some concern, great concern about in 2015, early 2016, about that means in case UK left the European Union, that means the island would be heavily hit. Maybe more heavily hit than by the other countries. Of course, border issue. This is the why I'm here. So this is the, of course, the over the past centuries, some scholar comments the maybe the 20 years, say 50 years peace, cold peace, cold war. And then the trouble 30 years, turbulent years, and then the Good Friday Agreement, some reconciliation. So the border, as a historian put it, border is not something on map, but in people's mind. This Brexit raises the question again. However, gradually over the past, because this process had been, Brexit process had been extended than most people expected. It's a long process, 30 years and a half. Gradually, some kind of optimism has arisen in Ireland by Irish government and the diplomats as an opportunity for Ireland to expand its relevance both within the EU and on the world stage, particularly in the international relations. Some opportunities for Brexit, the only English-speaking country in the EU. Actually, before that, Irish people used that. I remember when I visited Ireland in 2009, they used this. I think it's because that means we are the only English-speaking country in Europe. Maybe they meant Eurozone at that time. But now the only English-speaking country in the European Union. More financial institutions move to Republic. Will there be an influx for those institutions, financial institutions in London? Of course, it depends on the negotiations for these economic arrangements and trade. Of course, Ireland has been attractive to multinational. Will Ireland be more? This EEC membership, of course, has great impact in some way, transformed the country from De Valera's dream of Ireland, the anti-materialistic, rural, Catholic, Gaelic, not English, Asian civilization or some way protectionist to today, modern or even postmodern. So I was actually surprised at the time in 20, I think it's 2015 or 20, I'm not quite sure, the gay marriage referendum. Professor Margaret Kelleher, I remember the literary professor in UCD. She visited my center. She told me the next day there would be the referendum on gay marriage. Actually, I was surprised. I was not aware of that actually. Because the country was so conservative in history, in translating Professor Dermot Keogh's history of 20th century Ireland, I was impressed with his account in 1970s. The women were discriminated, even for some public civil servants and for teacher, they had to quit from their job because of having a baby. But the things have changed so fast over the past 30 or 40 years. So this is a lot of discourse on Ireland's new global role. They raised the question, that Berlin and Boston question again. I mean, 1950s, late 1940s, after World War II, that was a question of choice for Ireland, Europe or the United States. But now this question is raised again for its diplomatic choice. Yes, this discourse, Taoiseach said that we see ourselves as a global country, not so much an island behind an island at the edge of continent, but rather an island at the center of the world. This is the center that is close to the US and close to the European Union and also close to the UK. In China, in our diplomatic thinking, we raise the question whether the UK will be a major independent force in the world. Although it's not so big, cannot be compared with Russia, cannot be compared with the European Union, anyway, it's a relatively independent power in the world. So Ireland has a close relation with all these powers. Of course, this is a kind of special importance. So it is ambiguous and yet require careful diplomatic engagement leverage to secure the vision. Yes, this is according to a professor at the UCD. He said, for Ireland, Brexit may prove to be another important moment of psychological liberation. But, of course, some uncertainty still remains. According to another professor at Cambridge University, he said that the Brexit is creating a contrast that hasn't existed before. It has unleashed Britain's demons and give Ireland a hollow island seem modern, just as Westminster system of modern through make Britain seem like a Victorian relic. Ireland gained some confidence about its role in the world and also about system. Again, this is an interesting moment in this general election. The Sinn Féin, when maybe Moses, I do not know the exact number so far, but anyway, this is a very interesting moment to think about this question. So the essence of Ireland as a global player and the subtle shift in power between it and the UK. The former Irish ambassador said that time has changed. We become our own country. We have our own ideas at last. Of course, Brexit also raised some uncertainty and the problem, because depending on the ongoing negotiations on the economic relations between the UK and the European Union, if no very good deal in the future, Irish economy will face some challenge. This is, and of course, Brexit raised the question about the prospects of the reunification of Ireland, particularly so because we usually we believe as a mainstream party in Ireland are not so enthusiastic about unification. They insist on the importance of Belfast Agreement, Good Friday Agreement, and in Northern Ireland, according to some poll here, I sometimes refer to some survey about Northern Ireland life. They have some very good poll. Most poll indicated that a clear majority still support the union. That means to staying within the United Kingdom. Even today, more than 60%, 65 or so. The question is, demographically, now the Catholic and the number of Catholic almost very close to the Protestants. However, the clear, very big 90% of Protestants supported the Union. However, for Catholics, maybe only 60 or 70% supported the reunification with Ireland. So the no clear majority for reunification, but things will change, who knows. This is the Sinn Féin, who knows whether Sinn Féin will join the government. So that means the major parties maybe will have give more support for some kind of so this is the election. So lastly, I'll go to the some implications for Irish studies in China. This can mean some new opportunity for China and Ireland for bilateral relations. Ireland will be more important for China in some way. For Ireland, China has huge market, the tourism, FDI. This represent great opportunity for Ireland to change its independent role and expand its global market. Ireland will become more dependent, open to outside world. Sino-Irish and Ireland will be more confident on the world stage. The Sino-Irish relation will play increasingly important part in Irish endeavor to build its new global role. For China, Ireland is a dynamic, innovative country. Ireland is a gateway and also enthusiastic partner to establish closer tie with China through Belt and Road Initiative. Ireland also is a potential partner to reverse the rising tide of deglobalization and enhance connectivity with the rest of the world. And also the trade actually increased very, very fast. I remember when I started my career in the Irish Study Center 2006, 2007, and then the global financial crisis started. So at that time, the total the volume, trade volume was about $6 to $7 billion US dollar. And then for almost 6 or 7 years, it remained roughly the same level. But over the past 4 or 5 years, the trade volume expanded very quickly, doubled soon. And also the direct flight launched, and also the some language programs, a lot of. So the, of course, Northern Ireland can also play some important part in this relationship, not only Irish and China relation, but also China-UK relations, because these multiple identity. In this world, actually, everybody cannot avoid the fate of multiple identities. But Northern Ireland has has the special special status in so-called the golden era in China-UK relations, and also in for Aristotle's this multidisciplinary agenda is flourishing. Chinese government now give greater attention to the so-called country and the regional studies because we are more ambitious on the world stage. Even small nations are important now in our strategic thinking. And new centers are emerging in China. Again, Irish literature, of course, has always been dynamic, has been the reception of translation, not only those world-class writers, Beckett, Joyce, Bernard Shaw, Yeats, but also the recent story is some translation. At the beginning of the 21st century, Finnegan's Wake was translated into Chinese by a professor in Shanghai, Shanghai Fudan University. And also the complete works of Samuel Beckett, published recently. At the same time, more and more attention has been given to contemporary Irish literatures. More readers, great work of Embassy and the Literature Island Exchange. So the Chinese and Irish people love literature, so we share a lot of common experiences. The new agenda, the question is what Irish studies can offer for the future of Irish and Chinese relations. This is an interesting question for efforts to build distinctive Chinese character or Chinese identity for Irish studies as an academic discipline in China. Because compared with Irish studies in Canada, in Australia, in Japan, what's the special character? Perhaps we can work on the bilateral relations, of course, third part. This can be a very important resource for. And also, Irish study in China has developed its own approach by going beyond the narrow disciplinary boundaries by examining Ireland's historical, political, literary, and social complexities. We have this multidisciplinary approach because for most Irish studies programs in all over the world, they focus on literature. Even today, many programs claim to be multidisciplinary. However, when they devote papers, they devote those on the literature and writers. So Brexit provides new empirical facts to promote the interdisciplinary and the multidisciplinary dialogues among literary studies, historical studies, and other academic disciplines such as politics, sociology, and international relations, which has potential to contribute to the emerging global Ireland agenda. So these efforts not only make Irish society and culture comprehensible to China as an outsider, it also creates reflective opportunity to expand, even challenge by the contrast, the Irish and the Chinese perceptions about themselves. So this is this is also important because as even a researcher in another country, for example, scholars of Chinese studies here, they can have their own contribution to the understanding of China. They are not only translators of the another society's culture, another society and the culture. They have their own reflections. They can have their own contribution. So much for my presentation. Thank you.